thought it would be good for us to look at an example of responsible leadership in the book of Joshua. If you'll please turn to chapter 24, we'll look at a text. As you think about history and what God has done, particularly in critical times, is that he has raised up responsible leadership. And you think your way through the Old Testament of how God raised up a Moses and a Joshua and a David, and how during New Testament times he raised up the apostles. And then through history, this is true. And if I could lay my finger on the greatest need in our world today and in our country, it's the need for responsible leadership in these critical times. There is a vacuum of great leadership today. In the world and in our own country, we have no great responsible leadership. And we need to pray that God will raise up that leadership. Now, as we think specifically of what's happening today, I don't need to run through in detail why these are critical times. If you're not aware of that already, my rehearsing it won't make it real. You all know how critical our day is and what is happening. And so we need responsible leadership today, which really falls on the shoulders of men. If men will return to fatherhood, women will return to motherhood. And so let's think about that as we look at Joshua 24. And let me begin reading in verse 11 and through about 28. Joshua, this is the end of his time in leading the Israelites into the promised land. Through Moses' leadership, they came out. Moses is dead. God is really in trouble now. What will he do? Moses is dead. God always has his men. He raises up Joshua. And he uses Joshua as a great father, perhaps the greatest military general in history, to defeat the nations that were there and to take his people into the land. Now we come to the end of that part. Verse 11 of 24. And Joshua speaking to them through the Lord, really speaking through Joshua. Then you went over the Jordan, that is the river, and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites, and Electricites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's say that together. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And they rehearsed that. And the people responded to Joshua's leadership. Now, in all biblical records, whether it be Joshua, Moses, David, or so on, the tendency of the Arminian approach, that is, the human free will approach, the concept that everything comes from us, the tendency is to make a hero of a Joshua, Moses, a David. And you read this, isn't Joshua great? Yes. But who's greater? It's the God of Joshua who is the hero. And the question we ask is, how did God use Joshua? Otherwise, we miss the whole point. Now, let's answer that. How did God use Joshua? By causing him to be a strong, responsible leader. And these became critical times because the people were being influenced by the foreign gods that the Egyptians served and all these other people on the other side of the Jordan were not believers in God, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were heathen, pagan worshipers of false gods. The Israelites became influenced somewhat by that, and so Joshua is laying it before them. Here's the issue. The God of Israel or these false gods? Who are you going to serve? And he lays it before them. You choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now let's take a look at what Joshua's leadership looked like. On the back of the bulletin, there is a guide for thinking our way through this. What did Joshua's strong leadership look like? What can we say about it? Right from the text, we can first of all say it was personal. As for me, he's not waiting for somebody else to speak up. He's there personally, and he comes before them with a personal decision, which God enabled him to make, but it was an uncompromising decision. He wasn't playing games with this issue. It was a courageous decision because the people could have walked out on him. And he made the decision, true God or false gods. Joshua's leadership was personal. It wasn't relying on what other men were going to do or what the neighborhood might do. He stood up and said, as for me, this is it. The second thing we think about Joshua's leadership is that it was paternal. That is, it was fatherly. As for me and my house, Joshua was the head of his home. He spoke for his household. He said, as for me and my house, we will. So he fulfilled his responsibility in the place that God had given him, not only in the nation, but in his family. And he followed God's order. His leadership was paternal. Now, how does that spell out with a strong, responsible father? How does he speak for his family? Well, he sets the direction. And in biblical instruction and prayer, he sets the direction for his family. So there is no confusion, and they understand what the family is about. He's not a wimp. He doesn't cop out. He stands up and he sets the standards and the direction, and he lays it out for them. This is how this family will live. This is where we will go. This is where we will not go. This is what we will do, and this is what we will not do. And he discusses with them the purpose of the family. A family has to have a purpose. They have to know why we're a family. They have to know why God put us together and what we're about and how we're supposed to live. Why are we a family and what is our purpose? Joshua said it before them. As for me and my house, this is our purpose. We will serve the Lord. That's what it's about. And Joshua fulfilled his God-given role with determination as a father. And we need to think about that. I suppose every father looks back in life and reviews the failures, as I do, and wish we could have done it over. And then we say, no, I don't want to do it over again. But it's a great thing for a father to set a standard and keep it, set a purpose and keep the family going in that purpose. So there's no confusion, no lack of direction. The family isn't left wondering and wandering and frustrated. They know what it's about, how he leads. And I think the problem today is that we have fathers who have abdicated leadership and left families wondering. Fathers who are unwilling to take leadership, and some who take wrong leadership and try to become tyrants or dictators. Joshua's leadership was personal, and it was paternal and fatherly. And so he did that. Thirdly, his leadership was positive in the sense that he said, we will serve. Not maybe, not perhaps, or when it's a more convenient time. Right now, this day, we will serve the Lord. What a great thing across America. If fathers today would make that decision and come out and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord as a cause, as a guide. This is our mission. This is why we're here. This is what we will do. Not maybe, not perhaps, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua's leadership was very direct and very powerful. We need to pray today that our wives and our families will have strong fathers. Fathers who take leadership in the home, like Joshua. And have regular family worship together with family training. Regardless of what we may think about it in our present day, the father is the responsible teacher of Bible doctrine to the family. Men today, I encourage you to make yourself a student of the Scripture. Look at it every day. Study it thoroughly and teach doctrinal truth to your family. Don't depend on a Sunday school teacher. Don't depend on a preacher. That is your role. God gave you the children. You teach them. The father is also the leadership in discipline in the family. As great and wonderful a job as a wife and mother might do, it is inadequate. A boy will not learn what a boy is unless his father disciplines him. A girl will not learn what a woman is supposed to be unless his father disciplines her. Men are the responsible leaders for discipline, family training. We need to recover that and let the father take the leadership like a Joshua. Joshua's leadership was personal. It was paternal, it was positive, and it was public. He said this before all the people. Now you can imagine what's happening there. The Israelites had gathered, and he spoke to them. And I'm not exactly sure how they all heard. He didn't have amplifiers. But he spoke to that large congregation of people, and he spoke out publicly. He let them know where he stood. He was an unashamed witness for the Lord. He was not trying to be a secret believer. It was before the people, an unashamed public witness. Everybody heard him say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Everyone knew what he believed. Everyone knew where he stood. Everyone knew his purpose. We need that. Father, today, has your family ever heard you or seen you take a stand with what's going on today? Whether it's movies, TV, magazines, music, let them know what your standard is. Unashamed witness, this is what we will do. Has your family ever heard you pray? Ever heard you give a bold, unashamed witness for Jesus Christ? His witness was public, mainly to the family. Now, the thing we can also say about Joshua's leadership is that it was powerful, or we could say prosperous, but that's not really a good word. It was powerful in that it had influence on the family and on the people. They responded to him and said, "Yes, we will not serve the gods of the Amorites. We will serve the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And they responded to his leadership. Strong, godly leadership is effective and is borne out in the days to come. Now, we might not think so immediately, but it will be and will prove to be effective. And that was true in the case of Joshua. We stand today in the need of prayer, and for all of us to respond to God's word and be a leader like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your power and ability to raise up men as strong leaders. And at certain times in history, you have done that. And now, Lord, as in our country, as we face crossroads, having fallen into moral insanity and corruption of leadership, we pray that you will save our nation by raising up strong, responsible men. We pray that you'll save our family life by raising up strong, responsible fathers. and that you will help us here to be men who respond to you, and that you will bless the message of Joshua to our hearts and to all those today who meet in your name for this Father's Day. Use the message, we pray, and make it effective for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.